You shall reveal yourself to us. Transform us, O Lord. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. All right. So what we'll be looking at, what have we been looking at? Huh? Yeah, what voice do you listen to? Okay. What voice do you listen to? We said that as sheep or as children of God, one of the characteristics of a child of God is that he responds to the voice of God. Are we together? Do you remember? Do you remember? No. Please, just help me respond to me today. I know. I'm talking slow. It's because of how I'm feeling. So, what makes us God's children is the fact that we can respond to his voice. Okay? When we say we are children of God, that's one of the things that makes us children of God. Hallelujah. Are we together? And that voice is the reason why God's voice is important, you know, is that number one, it gives us identity. Can we say that? It gives us identity in the sense that we don't know who we are until God shows us who we are. And how God reveals to us who we are is through his voice. Amen. Amen. When somebody is giving birth to, they're giving a name, you know, they're giving all sorts of things. But those things are not the things that define, or they're not the things that should define us. Are we together? Huh? Our identity is meant to come from Jesus. Jesus is the one that names us. Okay? And it affects every single aspect of our lives. Identity. Identity is the foundation on which you build a person. Without identity, you can't have a person. Okay? You can't. The identity is the foundation. What shall I do upstairs? I said, what are you doing upstairs? Huh? Come downstairs. So, identity is the foundation upon which you build the personality. If the identity is wrong, the person will be wrong. Or the person will be confused. Are we together? Hmm? Are we together? Yeah. So we all need an identity from Jesus. If not, it is the world that will give us an identity. Hallelujah. I guess everyone I'm saying. Yeah. Please just stay with me. Don't allow your mind wander. If not, it is the world that will give us an identity. You know? So who we are, the core of our being, what we represent, what our purpose is meant to come as a result of the voice of God. Are we together? Yeah. The second element of his voice, or what the voice does, is it gives us direction. Can we say that? Can we say it better? It gives us direction. Jesus' voice, or the voice of God, directs our path. You know. What do I mean by direction? Direction, you know, go left, go right. You know. This is who you should marry. This is who you should this is the business you should start, you know. This is who is your mentor, this is who is your father. This is what you should be doing now. This is what you should be doing later on, you know. It gives us direction. And that direction, the way that, another way you can describe it is grace. Okay? In a way, grace is the manifestation of grace upon a life. Is that that person is him and God are on the same page. Are we together? Are we together? When you and God are on the same page, then your life becomes easier. Okay? This easier does not mean that there wouldn't be challenges or that you wouldn't work hard. You know, it is wrong for you to, for example, have the expectation of being rich without hard work. You're a thief. Are we together? Are we together? Huh? Hard work is a constant in every endeavor, anything you are doing in life. You will work hard. And in everything you are doing in life, you would encounter challenges. Because you're on earth. You're just like driving. You being involved in an accident is not just about you being careful. You can be the most careful driver, but your Okada man is not a careful driver. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know. So, when we're in alignment with God and God is giving us direction, then we are tapping into grace. Oh, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but our lives are exposed to the grace of God. Now, what does the grace of God do for us? The grace of God simply just, it does many things, but what I want to say is that the grace of God replenishes us, meaning that even though we do so much, we are not destroyed. Hallelujah. And that might be a bit philosophical. But just hear what I'm saying, that one thing about the grace of God is that it's like when God said he's the one that gives riches and does not add sorrow. When you are in the grace of God, what will happen is that you'll be doing a lot. You'll be doing so much, but two things. Number one, you'll be enjoying your life. Okay? Are we together? You'll be enjoying your life. If you're in God's grace, you'll be enjoying your life, meaning you'll be hopeful. You won't be bogged down by pressure. Okay. How many of you feel pressure to get admission to university? Anyone? I don't know. I'm not saying a bad thing. No. It's not. How many of you feel like, maybe like now during the exam, you have to be beating, bing, bing, bing. Ah, this exam must not fail. Anyone? I raise your hand. You're the only one being true because every other person, I don't know anybody that is doing the exam that does not feel bing, bing, bing. I raise your hand. Okay. Now, the normal thing that will happen, especially if you've been at home for a while, maybe you've done jump like twice or three times, you know, there'll be a sense of, am I going to do this thing again? You know, I remember, I want to use exam as an example. I remember, can you hear, is my voice okay? Okay. You know, I remember the feeling of, you know, post-jump, post-UTME has come out and then you didn't pass, your name is not in the list. There's no feeling of, I have to do this whole thing again. Because no, jump, you can't do jump. You can't carry your jump and ease it next year. You have to do the whole thing again. You know, now that's a challenge, that's a setback, you know. But if one is under grace, that challenge or that setback won't lead to depression. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we together? Huh? Are we together? It won't lead to depression. Even in the midst of that tough situation, the person will still find a way to wake up happy, wake up hopeful for the future. Hallelujah. So when we're in the grace of God, we're enjoying our life. You know, you're waking up happy, you're going to church, you know that you are, God loves you, you know, you're just chilling. And then secondly, you would experience favor. Okay? Hallelujah. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah, you will experience favor. You'll experience favor. Okay? So that's what it means to walk or to be directed by God. You know. And favor is such an interesting thing because favor is not necessarily just, there's what we, in our minds, when you say favor, there's, in our minds, there's what we expect. Anyway, let me leave that. That's not necessary. And then the third thing that the voice of God does is that he reassures us. Or it comforts us. So even similarly to the issue of grace that I was talking about, David was saying, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. You comfort me. Abino? Yeah. You comfort me. You know, one of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. Abby? Yeah, the Holy Spirit is a comforter. It's only the Holy Spirit I know that has never said anything negative about me, you know. I don't know about you, but you know, the Holy Spirit has never told me I'm a failure. Abina, has the Holy Spirit told you I'm a failure? Even when you're the one that is behaving crazy, you know, even when you're the one that is behaving crazy, there's a way they talk, which is a very inspiring way. I'll advise you to always talk the way God talks, okay? But the voice of Jesus is a comforting voice. Are we together? Are we together? It's a comforting voice. You know, the voice that is sent to us to comfort us. There are many instances in which we need the comfort of God. Okay? And then, or do I put it reassurance? And then the voice of God protects us from danger. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What did I say? Yeah, protects us from danger. Where's Samuel? Huh? And not your Samuel. The voice of God protects us from danger. Did you say second Samuel? Amen. Amen. You know, I want you to all be aware of danger. What did I say? Yeah, I want you to all be aware of danger. Or I want you to have a mind that can pick up danger. Let us go to Psalms 1. Let me explain what I'm talking about. Let's look at Proverbs 1 from verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Can we look at NLT? fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone just for fun. Let's ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive like the grave. Let's swallow them whole, like those who go down to the pit of death. Think of the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff we take. Come, throw in your lot with us. We will all share the loot. My child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their paths. Now, in this scripture, who is the danger? What's the danger in this passage of scripture? Sinners. Okay? So, if you have a mind that can identify danger, what does that mean? Do you understand the question? What's the danger from this scripture? Sinners. So, if you know how to spot danger, what does that mean? No. I mean, if the danger is sinners, okay? So if I come and I say now that you know how to spot danger, what does that mean that you know how to do? No. You know how to discern. Meaning you know who to follow, who not to follow, who to listen to, who not to listen to. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? The danger is people. And how do people bring danger? Through enticement. In other words, through something that seems good at first glance. For example, gossip. You know, gossip feels good. Hallelujah. You don't know. Do you know that gossip feels good? Have you ever gossiped before? You don't know if you've ever gossiped before. Oh, wow. Has anybody gossiped here before? Does it feel good? It feels good. There's nothing as sweet as gist, hot gist, you know. It's one of the sweetest things that you can ever, you know, especially when you know the people. Maybe one teacher is dating one student. You know, this kind of gist, very hot. Hallelujah. Now, when that is enticement, are we together? Are we together? Huh? That is enticement, meaning it feels good, right? But if you're going to be able to spot danger, you're going to know how to discern people. Many people don't know how to discern people. You don't know what to draw a line on, what not to draw a line on. Many young people have this challenge because of naivety. Okay? Hallelujah. No, you see, maybe young girls argue all the time. He stole my boyfriend. You know, you should know a girl that will steal your boyfriend. You know, well, I mean, you should have a boyfriend, but you get my point. You know, for those in the world, you know, you should know a girl that will steal your boyfriend. Well, you know, many people will just be doing like this. Just, oh, we're all friends. You know, you understand? Hallelujah. Are we together? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if sinners entice you, what do you do? Huh? turn your back on them. Okay? This is also, please hear me. This is also one of the reasons why you must be emotionally strong. Tell your neighbor, you must be emotionally strong. Tell them, well, you must be emotionally strong. Yes, you must be. You must be. Shall I tell you why? If you are not emotionally strong, you will be preyed on. Or if you are not emotionally strong, you're like meat for lion. Is a human being devour the weakest? Hallelujah. If maybe now you have daddy issues, you know what I mean by daddy issues? Oh, my daddy has never told me he loves me. Those kind of things, you know, as a girl, for instance. If you have daddy issues, so anytime any man will just, there's some girls, if a guy just gives you 1,000 naira, you start falling in love, you know, because nobody has been nice to you your whole life. So, so any niceness, you just start falling in love. You know, if you have those kinds of daddy issues, you most likely attract bad men to you. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. Human beings don't pity. We don't pity ourselves. If you have insecurity, the people you attract are people who prey on that insecurity. Are we together? In fact, I think I was telling you guys, I think in one of our night videos, that if maybe you have a very unbalanced soul, maybe which you can have if you've been sleeping around. If maybe as a, you know, especially ladies, this affects ladies more. If you've been sleeping around. If you by yourself choose your pastor, most likely there's a high chance that you choose a pastor that will want to sleep with you. That if you by yourself, you know, choose a pastor. Hallelujah. Are we together? Yeah. So you have to be emotionally strong. Okay? You have to be emotionally strong. You have to be strong. You know, there's no, you don't score points for being weak. You understand? And life is not fair. Okay? Are we together? Life is not fair. People from poor background tend to be pregnant at teenage years more. There are people that are from rich background, and that's how it is. One would think that the life will balance, meaning is people from, if you go out on the street now, if you look at all the young girls that are carrying baby on their back, most of them are from poor backgrounds. Abina, why? The girl has daddy issues. So once one year old boy just gives her 500,000, she will just disappear. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? So tell your neighbor again, you have to be emotionally strong. Yeah, you have to be. You have to be strong. When I say strong, I don't mean gra-gra. I just mean you have to be firm in who you are in Christ. You have to know yourself. You have to know what you stand for as a person. You can't do everything. You have to know what you can do, what you can't do, what you can do, what you can't do. You have to know who can be your friend, who cannot be your friend. Okay? You have to know the God that you serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You do. Because you'll be tested on it. Okay? Are we together? Even in church now, is you know, at times these things is like perfume. When a girl is desperate for a boyfriend, it's like perfume. Chiwa Track Boys, you know, when she's desperate, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like perfume. You know, it's like how drug addicts, they tend to locate them, you know, all these things. It's like everybody will find out their level. So if you're in this church now, boys are texting you, oh, you know, I love you. You need to ask yourself, why is it that I'm the only one why are they not texting me for a prayer meeting? Hallelujah. People are doing like you're silent. Why are they not texting me for prayer meeting? Why is it love? They're texting me for, you know, I just want to tell you that I think you're fine. Why is it not prayer meeting they're texting you for? Huh? It's because they have the perfume. I'm telling you the truth. They have the perfume. I have the perfume. Amen. Are you learning? So ultimately, how we are protected from danger is again through his voice. You see, when his voice, and that's why I then need to explain what the voice is. That's where we stopped last week. But before we get there, it's his voice that protects us from danger. Hallelujah. His voice protects us from danger. You know. Before I go to his voice, I really want to finish this thing today. I'll finish today. There's something that Jesus said in that verse, John 10:22. John 10:22. Or should we go? I just want to counsel one or two of us that you should not go into betting, okay? I want to counsel one or two of us that you shouldn't go into betting. It will destroy you, okay? It's unfortunate that people love money more than life. So, I know how much money. Please, can somebody help me bring that torch here from the top? Because I know how. Are we all together? Are you guys hearing me? Yeah. You know, people love money more than life. So there's no way, once a government legalizes betting, because the tax revenue will be very, it will be a huge thing. And because it's money that men really worship, it's going to be rare for you to see people say, okay, you know, this thing is damaging our youth. Let us stop it, you know. But I just want to counsel you. If you think I'm your pastor, well, then it's not counsel. It's more or less an instruction or admonishment. You know, thank you. I guess, Henry. The girls bet. Yes. I know where we are now, you can bet on anything. You know, all this poly market, and you can bet that sun will shine today. But really, you can. That's how bad it's gotten. You can bet on literally anything. You know. Please don't. It's a very bad spirit. It will latch onto you. It's a very bad spirit. Okay, so don't enter into what you will not find funny. Are we together? All right. So in John 10, verse 5, let's go to verse 5. Or let's start from verse 3. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, He walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. Can we read this together? One, two, go. Can you say it well? One, two, go. So, we've said that one of the things that makes us children of God is that we respond to the voice of Jesus. Also, except your mumu sheep, which you don't want to be, you should also know that one of the things that also makes us children of God is that we don't respond to the voice of strangers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't respond to the voice of strangers. You know, what I'm about to say now is so serious that I would wish that you can spiritualize it, because I'm really not feeling, my body is not, you know. So, I know I'll still keep talking in this dry voice, and you can be tempted to just, you know, to just pass your head. But please, I want you to be wise. Just listen to me. Even though I'm talking like this, what I'm saying is very important. Okay? So, there is the voice of God, or Jesus, the shepherd. There is the voice of a stranger. Hallelujah. How do you know the voice of a stranger? Now, when we talk about the voice of God, I will say it later on in closing, but let me say it now. You see, I never want you to stress. Are we together? As a believer, you should never stress. Are we together? Are we together? As a believer, you should never stress your mind over God talking to you. Okay? It's performative spirituality. Are we together? Because the voice of God is not primarily an audible voice that you hear. As a matter of fact, I want you to take it that if there's anybody here that hears an audible voice consistently, you need to come and tell me. Okay? It might be mental issues, not the voice of God. Are we together? Are we together? I'll be very serious. You need to come and tell me. I'm always hearing a voice. You need to come and tell me. Let's look at it, you know. You know, there's one thing that many people do in Pentecostal. Well, you know, I mean, what's Pentecostal these days? In places where they say Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, let's speak in tongues, that kind of stuff. People, because there's an expectation of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in a raw way. Everybody naturally wants to meet up to a perceived expectation in their mind. So, for a lot of you, you think you are being spiritual when you're having dreams, for instance. Abby? In fact, a lot of people in this kind of spirit setting, if you don't know yet, you would actually even think that maybe you are growing. That's why you're having dreams. That's growth. Or maybe seeing a vision is growth, things like that. Because there's an expectation of gifts of the Spirit, there's an expectation of manifestation of the Spirit. And so that also leads us to equate those things to growth. Okay? And then people naturally fake. You know, human beings love to fake life. Human beings love to, you know, if a human being enters a place where everybody is speaking a British accent, in 2 weeks, himself, you start speaking in British accent. That British accent won't make sense though, but he will speak in his own version of an accent. It's very rare to see Nigerian relocate and still be speaking their normal Nigerian accent. Because human beings like to meet up with the expectation in their mind of what they should be doing in a place. So people would, in spirit settings, people would use spiritual language. Part of the spiritual language is the Lord said. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, where you think that for you to be taken serious, you serve, you have to say the Lord said. Okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, you have to be very careful with that character. You have to stop that character. You have to grow past that character. That's not maturity. The Lord said it's not maturity, you know. So anyway, the voice of God is layered, or what we say, God speaks, God communicates. He communicates in various ways. Hallelujah. So the last thing we'll do is that we'll look at the ways that he communicates. That's why I want us to stop, so that you can appreciate how God is. And similarly too, the voice of the stranger manifests in various ways. Manifests in various ways. For a demon to talk to you, I'm using an example. For let me tell you something. In a church, in this church, any church, if somebody comes to you with gossip, are you hearing? If somebody comes to you with gossip, did you see what Pastor Kene wore that day? Maybe Pastor Kene is doing these days. I mean, I don't know. Let's just be watching, you know. If someone comes to you with gossip, it's a demon that is talking to you. Hallelujah. Okay? It's an evil spirit that's talking to you. But you won't know that it's a human interaction, probably a human being that you like. But what that really happened is that a human being has allowed himself to be a conduit for a bad, evil spirit. And that spirit wants to influence you. That's why you notice those of us that used to gossip, you can like somebody, but the moment they tell you something about the person, your viewpoint will just change. Maybe someone that used to like, in the moment you hear something about the person, you start hitting the person. That's how demons spread malice and hatred. And Are we together? If you're me, shout hallelujah. So, when the voice of a stranger, or when we are talking about the voice of a stranger, is also multi-layered, okay? It's not just from one source. Now, there are basically like four ways to identify the stranger. The first is that God's will is not at the center. Let's look at Matthew 16, verse 23. Matthew 16, verse 23. Can we read together? 1, 2, go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan." Okay? Why? Because you are seeing things from a human point of view and not God's. All right? Or what you are seeing does not put the will of God at the center. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I gave you an example of how the Holy Spirit has never told you you're a failure. I mean, some of you scored below 200 this jam. I don't know if that night angels came to you and said, you don't know book. Okay? Now, who knows? Maybe the reason why I scored below 200 is that you didn't read well. That might be. That really might be why. You know, might be why. But even then, there's a difference between this is what you need to do to be better next time and you are a failure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are two different things now. Abino, there are two different things. So the voice of a stranger is any voice that's one way to know is that the will of God is not at the center. It's a voice that leads you away from the will of God. In Proverbs, we looked at sinners, right? Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? Lead you away from the will of God. Now, even though you're a child of God, you can be a mumu child of God, which is not... I'm teaching you this so that you'll not be a mumu child of God. What I mean by mumu child of God is that you'll just be following anybody that comes, you'll just be following. For example, anybody that is crying here, my teacher said, I'm not good. You're a mumu? Why are you crying for a stranger? Are we together? You don't need to be pitied. You need to repent. Yeah, you need to go and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for hearing this nonsense. But you know, that's why most of us cry. My teacher said I don't have sense. My teacher said I don't have sense. My friends gathered around me. They said I'm olodo. They're oppressing me. Yeah, mumu sheep. Hallelujah. Why are you a mumu sheep? Because you are listening to the voice of a stranger. You understand? Are we together? You now want to come to church and say that you will not be petting your head. Oh, don't worry. You can make it in life. Look. Look. Are we together? You don't want to be pitied though. Pity is not a good thing. You have to be emotionally strong. Hallelujah. You have to be emotionally strong. So it's never a prayer point that And these things affect some people to the point that they will even, it becomes the life philosophy. You know? The life philosophy is now I want to prove people wrong. I have no business proving anybody. Anybody can think whatever they want to think. I am not proving anybody wrong. I'm enjoying my life. Are we together? If I'm trying to prove you wrong, then I'm in bondage to you. You are the one that is controlling my life. You get? You know, people cannot marry the girl they love because to them, the girl is not, their friends laughed at the girl. He loves the girl. But he can't marry her. Because he's thinking, if I carry this girl to party now, all my friends are there. What would they say? Maybe the girl has one kind of leg or something like that. Yeah. Hallelujah. Even girls, too, they can't... You know, some girls, they are ashamed of their boyfriend. Amen. So, that is one of the ways to know the wrong voice. God's will. This voice is not concerned about God's will for this life. When you read what's in the Bible and what he's saying, they are clashing. They are clashing. Hallelujah. Teacher is meant to teach physics. You teach your physics and go. If he starts entering into matters of the soul, it had better talk like God. If he's not talking like God, then this is your limits. It's physics you are talking. You will not tell me who I will be in life. You will not tell me what I will become. It's not from you that I will get esteem from. This is your portion. Teach me physics. After school closes, we'll see tomorrow. Are we together? The second way to know the voice of a stranger is that you are not reminded of who you are in Christ. Okay? Let's go to 1 John 2, verse 1. 1 John 2.
Oh, yeah.
So, in this, can we read this verse? 1, 2, go. Hold on. 1, 2, go. Hallelujah. So, John here is saying that we should not sin, but even if we sin, we have an advocate. Can we say advocate? Can we say one more time, advocate? Who is an advocate? An advocate is just someone that argues on your behalf. Okay? Do you understand this? Hallelujah. Jesus is arguing on your behalf. You need to know this thing about Jesus, because if you don't know this thing, you'll be given another image of who Jesus is. Huh? Jesus is arguing on your behalf. He's not arguing against you. Okay? Jesus' inclination to you is not to punish you. Are we together? He can, but that's not his inclination. And even that himself is more for ministers of God. These are the people that he deals with directly. But his inclination is to advocate for you. He's arguing for you. Meaning if Satan comes and says, "Ah, look at what he did. Because of what he did, I'm going to deal with him." Jesus will tell God, no. You now have died for him. Let's give him another chance. Are we together? Sit well. Huh? Are you following me? Jesus is your advocate. That's Jesus. So a stranger's voice is a voice that removes you from Christ. Meaning, it will try to make it seem like you are a finished person. Hallelujah. You know? Let me tell you something. Let me give an example. If somebody in this few times, some people have entered into maybe trouble on, you know, on various levels. And almost all the times, they're usually very surprised when we eventually have a conversation. Because the way the conversation goes is not how the person will expect it. Okay. To the point that if somebody, or not you, because, you know, I pray that you won't have that kind of issue. But if maybe somebody should get pregnant, maybe a lady gets pregnant or something like that, you know, maybe at 16 they get pregnant, you know. Truth of the matter is that nobody in this church raised their voice at you. At least certainly not me. Are we together? Huh? Why? Because even though you've made that mistake, you're not condemned. I guess you know what I'm saying. You are not condemned. And the child they are carrying is definitely not condemned. So, they want to drink water. So, what are we going to do? We'll take care of you now. That's all we'll do. We'll take care of you. We'll do proper naming, we do baby dedication, we do everything. Why? Even though you're in a tough situation, you are not condemned. Are we together? So strangers' voices love to condemn. When you see condemnation, when you see it is finished, you are finished. Lock him up. You know? If you kill somebody, they will lock you up, but you get my point. What I mean is that if you go and kill somebody, I won't condemn you, but I'll carry you to the police station. Okay, that's what I mean. But lock him up, deal with him. You know, that's not what Jesus says. Except that Boko Haram. Are we together? Boko Haram needs to be shot. That's how you respond to Boko Haram. You shoot them. Wherever you see them, you shoot them. You don't pray for... you can pray that they'll be saved, but if they're in your front like this, you have to shoot. You get my point? So, Jesus is our advocate. Can we say that? Yeah, Jesus is our advocate. And I want you to have that mental picture of Jesus in your mind. Esther, are you hearing what I'm saying? I want you to have that mental picture of Jesus in your mind. That Jesus is my advocate. Jesus is on my side. If there's one person that is on my side, though, it's Jesus. Jesus does not want to condemn me. He doesn't want me to die. He wants good things for me. Hallelujah. And you better get to knowing Jesus like this, so that, you know, because Jesus can give you husband now, you start crying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember my friend, he said he can't marry any girl in this church, that he gets there now at his level. Amen. All of you know this person I'm talking about. He said he can't marry any girl in this church, that he gets there now at his level. That's one that doesn't know the goodness of Jesus. He doesn't know that Jesus has provided a good wife for him. He's looking for... maybe because what he wants is the Bukwa Wishika, but they don't look like that yet. You know, so he's... What happened? They're making noise. She's pushing your hair. Okay. Are we together? Okay. The third reason, or the third way, so the first way is that God's will is not at the center, Abby. That's the voice of a stranger. The second is that you're not reminded of who you are in Christ, because it's not an advocacy kind of voice. The third is that it leads you astray from your history with God. That's a bit, I won't explain that much. And lastly, it tempts you with sin. Okay, that's obvious, you know. So when voices are enticing, you know, those are strangers. Hallelujah. Those are strangers, stranger voices. There are plenty like that in university. You know, they'll tell you, let's go to club. Let's go. You know. It's so shocking. You know, when if you want to do bad sin, there's money for it. Like if you want to do good sin, there's no money. You hustle. But if you want to do bad sin, there's money. There are people ready to sponsor you. You know, if you have there are people that can buy drink for you, but they won't buy food for you. You know? Like if you go and drink, you can stay there and drink as much as they want. But if you say, I'm hungry, I've not chopped today, you won't buy food for you. But if you should drink, or you should do what was that thing that they'll put? There'll be bubble. What's the name of that thing? Shisha, I mean. Are people that can spend? Are we together? Now, this these voices, I've explained to you in a brief, briefly, what they do. Okay? That's the form that they take. Now, the vehicle can be anybody. Hallelujah. 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 Okay? The vehicle can be anybody. And you need to know that about life. The vehicle can be anybody. The vehicle can be your parents. Are we together? So what do you do? Because I'm thinking somebody might want to ask, which is a very good question to ask. What do you do when it is your parents that are filling this role? You need wisdom. Number one, there's a way we asked this question before, which is largely just about, you know, people being foolish. My dad is sending me to go and buy beer. What should I do? That's a completely irrelevant. You can't save your dad. You get, if your dad wants to buy beer, go and buy the beer for him. That's not. Don't fight your dad and say you are Christian. I'm a Christian. I don't buy. That's a pointless fight. You understand? Just don't go and kill for him. You understand? But if your dad drinks beer, go and buy the beer for him. In fact, buy it happily, Seth. That's a bit of a religious mind, you know. Hallelujah. Are we together? So that's the way we used to ask it in the past, but the spirit of the question is still setting that, or the right question really is, how do I respond in a situation where the voice of a stranger is my dad or is my mom? You know, you need to know this. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Okay? God's intention for you is family, meaning God's primary institution is the institution of family. It's through family that he's meant to reach you. That's how we originally planned it, but it might not happen like that. I mean, some people, it's their parents that molest them. You know, very sad. It's their own dad that's raped them, you know. So, in such a situation where it is your parents that are the voice of the stranger, well, first things first, you need to, number one, be sure, because you see, you need to have a sincere heart. Because you see, when you don't have a sincere heart, you can stresslessly be a victim. Meaning, toughness is not evil per se. What I mean by that is that maybe your mom is nagging you, or not nagging, but she's like, on your case that you didn't sweep the parlor well. You know, that's not the voice of a stranger. Hallelujah. Are we together? You understand, right? Or maybe you went to buy, maybe she's even being difficult. You know, maybe you went to buy tomato and then you wanted to pick one. Said, no, don't pick that. I've always told you to be looking well before you pick it. But mommy, now I've not yet picked the thing. You know, this kind of argument. That's interpersonal issue. You people are just relating with yourself. So you need to have a sincere heart first to know what is right and what is wrong. The reason why you need to be sincere is that if you're not sincere, you can be getting correction, but your soul will interpret it as they're oppressing me. Okay? Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. Especially because you can't use your emotions to judge whether what somebody is saying is right or wrong. You know, everybody wants to be corrected in a way that they like. Abina? So, we'll say that, what he's saying is true, but it's the way he said it. You know, that's rubbish, because you can't tell somebody how to correct you. Number two, most correction will come with it will come package with offense, meaning the person will say it in a, because the person can correct from a place of emotional, the person is angry. So the person will just be talking. You get, right? So is that sincerity? Let me give you an example. I remember one time when I was a younger Christian, and then an older brother took me to one side and rebuked me. The guy really rebuked me for like 30 minutes. Serious, like, rebuking. And as I was walking back home, I was so angry. I was like, look at what this guy is saying. Look at what this guy is saying. But then the Holy Spirit was not telling me that. But you know that small part that he said is true. You know it's true. Like, but the way he said it, so he told me, he said, look, you have to, if someone should shout at you for 3 hours and 90% is wrong, you have to remove the 90%. Take the 10% that is correct and go and work on that one. Are we together? Don't say because they didn't talk to me the way I like, you threw everything away. You're the one that is going to die. Amen. Also, don't say, just like now, if somebody is smoking, maybe like now I'm smoking, and I tell you, stop smoking. It's very foolish to say, but you are smoking. That's a very foolish thing to say, because whether I'm smoking or not doesn't mean that the advice is not true. Do you get? So, it's sincerity. Can you say sincerity? Yeah, sincerity. You just have to be true to yourself. If you're a child of God, you will know when they correct you, you will know when they are truly wrong and when they are truly correct. You will know. No matter how you want to argue, deep down your heart, you will know, okay. That's that part that they said. That's the truth. Okay? So that will help you not to be victim, not to have a victim mindset. It will help you to... Is that Indy? Who is beside you? Alpha, you're not... Huh? Okay. Are we together? I guess you know what I'm saying. So, sincerity. Number two, you have to know how to separate relationships. Did you hear me? Know how to separate relationships, okay? Your parents must be honored. But they must not be listened to on everything. Okay? But you must still honor. So you just have to separate it. You have to, I won't say stratify, but you have to put it at various levels. So you must never talk back to your dad. You must never talk back to your mom. You can do it. There's nothing deep about it. You know. You must never talk back to them. You must always talk to them with respect. You must always... show them that you are submitted to their authority. And then, when it comes to the things of God, you simply prioritize the things of God in your heart. You get. You can do it. You can compartmentalize your heart. The moment your teacher is saying something that is tampering your identity in Christ, you can do it. It's just that you don't know you can do it. But you can actually do it. You can just create a block and just separate it. You understand? You are hearing, but you are not hearing. I get. You can do it. Everybody can do it. Because you do it when you don't take correction. Is that not what you do? I mean, that's what everybody does now. When they are correcting and you don't want to take the correction, you are hearing, but you are not hearing. So you can do it in bad things too. You can do it in good things. You get? And then you just live peaceably with everybody because you're not fighting people, okay? So you shouldn't be arguing with people. Don't argue people. Don't try and change your parents. Nobody else should try and change their parents, please. Don't try and change your parents. Leave them. God loves them the way they are, okay? Except they are not born again, then you can preach. But if they are just normal behaving people, you know, just enjoy them the way they are. You understand? Are we together? Yeah, just enjoy them the way they are. But very importantly, do not say, I hope you listen. But you must be, inside of you, you must be firm on what the Lord is saying and reject every contrary voice. Even that one said it requires some maturity, but also, please, don't trivialize certain things or don't spiritualize certain things. You know, there are many things we spiritualize, like if your dad wants you to go to University of Maiduguri, go there. There's nothing, you know, maybe you had a dream, you want to study law or actuarial science. How many of you know actuarial science? You know, it's a thing to study. Or civil engineering. Or your dad wants you to do theater and arts or something like that. If you talk once, you say, I don't want. Talk two times, say, I don't want. Talk three times, say, I don't want. I was going to do the course. Your life will not spoil. Okay? Are we together? Are we together? Now your life will not spoil. There are many ways to address it. You can just say, hey, dad, you know, this is what I want to do now. This is what I want to do. If you try and whine, the whining is not working. You can maybe call church people. People should come and help me. If you try power, whine, the whining is not working. Just free it. Okay, don't be too combative. Hallelujah. Your life is not spoiling. You get. You can't say that you don't want to do it by force. So the challenge is just that you pay your school fees yourself. And if you're ready to pay your school fees by yourself, then you understand? Do you get my point? If you're 18, you should be able to leave your parents' house. It's just that happy will not suffer on the street. You get it, right? But if you say I want to leave my parents, nobody can. My point is that nobody can stop you. You understand? No, truly, nobody can stop you. I say I'm old enough, I want to leave my parents' house. And you will go. Yes, it's just that I hope you have plan B, that you won't be sleeping under you know. But if you have, there's no issue. A child can say no, this is because at the end of the day it's your life. Yeah. Nobody's going to. Hallelujah. All right, so finally. The voice of God. Okay? So, likewise, the same way you have the voice of, you know, like I've already said, it's multi-layered. Are we together? If you're with me, shout hallelujah. I know with me. If you're with me, shout hallelujah. All right, don't worry, we'll soon close, like 5-10 minutes. Okay. So, I hope you guys have, okay, don't worry. So, as regards the voice of Jesus, right, I won't spend too much time here. I'll just say, because we all know it, but I just need to remind us. Esther, where are you going to? So, there are many ways God speaks to us. Okay, there are many ways He speaks to us. You know, and like I was saying earlier, it's not primarily hearing a voice. Okay, it is not. Are you done with the thing you are doing? Okay. It is not. In my time in Christianity, most people that say God said, usually end up behaving very badly. Hallelujah. Are we together? Yeah, usually end up behaving very badly. Because the maturity is character-based. Amen. Okay? Maturity. What we say a Christian is mature, what do we mean? We mean that he has the characters of love, which are the fruit of the Spirit, patience, all those kind of things. And then he has the wisdom of Christ. Are we together? Maturity is not prophesying. Okay? No, healing the sick. That's not maturity. Or casting out devils. That's not maturity. And the primary way you become mature is via the word. Meaning, what I mean by that is taking in the word and then also experiencing the challenges because of the word. The way Jesus put it was that tribulation arose because of the word. When you go through challenges in life, and you challenges are like the test or the exam of the word, life challenges. Okay, so you hear the word in church, you read the word in your Bible. You could be happy, you might not be happy, whatever. But the where you test your knowledge, where you build your muscle, is through going through challenges and issues. So, if you want to be close to God, that's the route to being close to God, to understanding God. Hallelujah. For example, you didn't pass an exam, but you've read that you should always be in joy. Now, you have a choice. Do I be in joy or do I enter into depression? Now, your choice is, will depend on your maturity. Do you get? Or you're trusting God for admission, but you didn't get it, but then your friend gets it. You know, some Christians start fighting with God from that moment. A lot. In their heart, they start saying, God, you are wicked. But me, I pray more than this person. I've heard Christians say that thing. Maybe their friend gets married. There was a feeling, but me, I'm this most spiritual one. But they will even go and tell the person, I don't know how God did it for you. When me, I pray more than you. Yeah. They might pray more, but they are not more mature. Because maturity is that even though you feel bad, you know, you feel bad that, oh, this thing didn't happen to me, but it happened to this person. You're going to act contrary to your emotions. You know, that's maturity. So, for you to be mature, that the reason why I'm saying this is that for you to be mature, you need more of the scripture and more than, I'm hearing God. That's why I was telling you, most people I've met that say they usually behave badly, very badly, when situations arise that exposes the bad behavior. Are we together? A solid Christian is a Christian that has strong foundation. He knows the right thing. Okay? So God speaks to us through the word. What is in the Bible, as far as when we are reading it, and then also what is preached, the gospel being preached. Okay? Now that is what transforms our mind. And that is what beautifies you as a person. It makes you a solid person. All the people that you like them because of their character, not because of their gifts. Okay? So that's the first. In fact, that one is the most important. You can't, if you try anything, I see some people playing with fire. You start doing prayer, spirit, and you don't teach. I play with fire. You are playing with fire. Serious fire that you don't know what can happen. Now, in life, this is just a tip. What to make you favored is how your mind is working. Okay? How your mind is working is what will make you favored. So that's scripture. The second way God's voice responds or God reveals his voice to us is through the Holy Spirit. Can we say the Holy Spirit? Yeah, the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit. Through his nudgings, his communications, and what have you. Okay? If you don't have You see, the spiritual realm is very, you need guidance and navigation. You know, because concerning spirits and you, there are three people. There's the Holy Spirit that is in you. There's Satan that is in you, meaning the thing Satan has planted. Okay? Insecurities, doubt, fear, shame, all sorts of things. Lust, you know. It's not your fault. It's first of all, sinful nature. Secondly, when you were a child, some things were just planted in you. The third is then you yourself. You know, out of all the three of these things, the most problematic is you. Meaning your own evil nature. And when you're in the spirit, you're navigating these three elements. Every spiritual thing can be manifested via these three things. Even speaking in tongues. You know, some people's tongues is genuine tongues. Some people's tongues is demonic spirit. Some people's tongues is they themselves. You know, there are places where they will tell them, say after me. Do you know? Well, no. Repeat after me. Robo, 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 robo. Robo, 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 robo. Yeah, like that. Some people's gift of the spirit is demonic. It's not the Holy Spirit. So it can be a very weird place. So it takes a lot of humility. You know, you can't be too forward. That's why we always say you should reduce God said. Hallelujah. I just say this is what I'm thinking. If you feel God is telling you something, when you're communicating that thing to somebody, don't say God told me this thing. Just say this is what I'm thinking. It doesn't reduce the seriousness of it. In anything in life. You hear me? Anything in life. If you are in church one day, you see a vision of somebody that is your wife. Don't go and tell her I saw a vision. Just go and approach her normally. Just say, I like you. Hallelujah. Are we together? And if as a lady, you see a vision of somebody that is your husband, don't go and approach him. Because you're not a desperate woman looking for a husband by force. Allow him to come to you. If it's God's will, he will come to you. You understand? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So, with the Holy Spirit, you need a lot of humility so that you don't miss it. Because you will miss it. There'll be times when maybe you want to go down one road and then you feel like the Holy Spirit is telling you to go the other way. If you go the other way, you'll see block road. Maybe you'll see close. The road doesn't have road again. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to just, when I saw the thing that happened, or you walk back and go the normal route. Yes, you have to be humble. I never tried to fake anything. Never tried to, you know, it's not true. The third way, which is the voice of God, is authority figures. Can we say authority figures? Okay, which are parents and pastors. Okay? Parents, I mean your physical parents and then your pastors. Okay? Your pastors are like your spiritual parents. But then your physical parents and your pastors. You see, your parents don't need to be born again to represent God in your life. Of course, it would be better. But it's not necessarily so. There are many people that if their parents, for example, were not pastors, they would like Jesus more. Okay? Do you understand me? Meaning, if their parents were not pastors, they would love Jesus more. The reason why they don't love Jesus is because their parents were pastors. So maybe they will see their dad preach on Sunday. Everybody should be peaceful, loving, kind. At home, the man is beating his wife. You know, these kind of things, right? So it's not like the children of pastors are better, no. Which evidently is not even so. Most children, a lot of children of pastors don't, you know. It's a natural role. Hallelujah. I'm thinking about your physical parents. It's a natural role. And the day-to-day of it is natural, but it has profound implications. You are not going to be great with God if you cannot sweep your room. Hallelujah. Huh? Any man here that cannot wash plates, don't marry. Are we together? Please don't marry any girl. You're going to be a beast. Are we together? I wish you can listen to, there's one message, which is not how that Messiah's love, that was a very funny Messiah's love. The kind of wisdom that we gave, that the high level wisdom, but you know, it was very simple. I tell you the truth. Part of how God trains your soul for greatness is mundane things like errands. Doing errands. You get? Go and buy bread. That's how God trains your soul for greatness. And that's just one of the things that your parents will institute, whether they're born again or not. They will do that thing for you. Hallelujah. So they're also God's voice. And also your pastors teaching the word, giving you instructions and things like that. So you have to be a master at all of these things. Scripture, the Holy Spirit, authority figures. This is more of a simplified version. There's still one or more things, but it's fine. Scripture, the Holy Spirit, authority figures, which are your parents and your pastors. Okay? That's the voice of God. So the question is, what voices do you listen to? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you going to listen to the voice of sinners? Are you going to listen to the voice of people that condemn you? Are you going to cry and say, they don't appreciate me? Yeah. If you are crying, it's because you read the voice. Do you understand? That's why you are crying. But if a madman should say, hey, baby, will you dream about him? You understand? you don't run away. I beg. Don't bring your madness near me. I mean, so you need to know who is mad, who is sensible, who has the Spirit of God, who are demons talking through. You need to have that discernment, you know, so that you will not be fighting some battles. There are battles that are completely unnecessary. Hallelujah. You don't need many friends now. One quality friend is better than five nonsense friends. Yes, if you have five friends that they are, when they talk, it's just evil, then that's not God's will. You should know that that's not God's will. All right, let us pray. I want you to just pray and just tell God that you're going to only listen to his voice. I'm going to reject the voice of strangers. I want you to talk to God. I say, Father, I'm going to reject the voice of strangers. I'm going to reject the voice of strangers. Lord, I'm going to reject the voice of strangers. Lord, I'm going to reject the voice of strangers. I'm only going to listen to your voice. Help me to discern. In the name of Jesus, help me to discern between your voice and the voice of strangers. In Jesus' mighty name, I've prayed. Amen. All right.